we're going to be in Genesis chapter 22 today. Genesis chapter number 22. Very excited about this morning and this evening. I don't get the opportunity much to preach on Sunday morning, but when I do, I'm excited. Now, am I going to have the energy that Brother Brandon has? Jumping up and down? Probably not. But I'm really excited and grateful for the opportunity. And we'll begin in verse number 15. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and which hath not withheld my son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thine enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for another time to be able to open up your word and learn something of you. God, I pray that you will remove me. Lord, use me as a mouthpiece. God, I pray that you'll make it clear and have clarity this morning. And God, I just pray that you'll just allow us to learn of you and take this and apply it to our lives and use it in our everyday life. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to be able to worship freely. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about fine-tuning our focus on God. Fine-tuning our focus on God. And I want to use the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. And I want us to see how we can use his life compare our lives. Compare our lives from Abraham to ourselves, and how our lives contrast or compare, and see where maybe we're close to God or not as close to God. So it took Abraham 100 years to have a child. 100 years. Now, in our lifespan, that's a pretty long time. I think most of us would probably say we'd give up after maybe 10 years, right? I mean, we'd be like, God, I'm done. I know you promised me this child, but I'm not trying no more. I'm going to try other ways to have a child. I'm going to adopt, or I'm going to do something else. But you see, Abraham had trust in God that he was going to come through with his promises, and that he was going to fulfill his promises. And so the first thing I want to look at is we need to focus on God's promises, not explanations. Many times in our lives, we want to ask why. We want to ask, why do we have to do this? God, why are you putting me through this trial? Why are you not blessing me? Why are you not giving me these material things such as Billy Bob has, or whomever, instead of focusing on the plan that God has placed in our lives and focusing on what God has done in our lives already. If we look at the in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, my Bible closed. It says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." We see here that God had asked Abraham the first time to go up and worship him on Mount Moriah and to worship God. Well, Abraham answers that worship, and he was willing to go and worship God, and he did so with his son. Now, we know this passage of Scripture. It's very notable. It's where Abraham went up because God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son. And so we see that God, in our verses this morning, we see that God called Abraham a second time to invest his blessing of faith. And we see that in our verses, this in verse 15 through 18. Have you ever thought about investing in something? You know, investing in your ministry, investing in what you do. God wants us to not only to worship in Him, but He also wants us to take that next step to become a part of that ministry. It's one thing just to sit, and it's one thing to just sit idle in a ministry. It's another thing to be a part of ministry, to do something and invest in somebody. Take the Awana program. You may not see your fruits of your labor. Sometimes the kids are very moving around and rambunctious and jumping around. They don't like listening to you. They love to just run around downstairs, and workers in Awana said amen right there. But when we don't see our fruits of our labor a lot, correct? But God says, wait a minute. Let it go. You know, I was talking to a friend a couple months ago about savings accounts, and he wasn't really taught much about how a savings account accrues. You know, you put a little bit of money in there, and it just accrues a little over a time. But he thought you put it in there, and it quadruples overnight. And so he came to me, and we were talking about it, and you know, it's like our lives with God. We want to see the product just like that. And it's because of our lifestyle. We're so hustle and bustle, and we want everything to happen just then. It's like fast food at McDonald's. It comes in 2 minutes. You don't know what's in it, but man, is it good sometimes. And other times it's not. But, you know, God says, wait for my plan. Just let me lead. You be behind me. Just focus on the life that I placed before you. Don't take 10 steps when you're only supposed to take one step. You know, Abraham in himself, that's what he was doing. He was just taking that one step. He was letting God lead him. He was letting God use him. So, question to us as individuals, how are we being used by God? How are we letting God use us? Because many times in our life, and I'll speak for myself, I want to go 10 steps forward instead of just the next step. I want it to work all perfectly the first time. I want it to be the best it can be the first time, instead of letting God say, okay, here's some problems we need to work out. Here's some issues that we need to take a next step forward to. And God tells us to have patience. That's what He's telling. It says, in our plan, instead of focusing on the whys and then focusing on what's going to come down the road and focusing on why we have to do it, just have patience. Let God do His work. Because it's not our work by no means. Nothing can we do to by ourselves to finish God's work. It's all through Him, and it's all what He has done through us to come as far as we've come today. Our church, it wasn't by us, it wasn't one single person, it wasn't some committee, it wasn't anything. It was because of God. God grew us. God had a plan for our church. And us individually. He has a plan for our lives individually. You may not know it, you may not understand it. But just follow God. Don't ask why. Don't always try to know what the end result is. Just follow Him. It can be very frustrating sometimes, you know. We want to know as human beings, correct? We want to know what's at the end of the road. And a lot of times, if we knew what we would know in 10 years down the road, it would probably scare us. We probably wouldn't want to do that. You know,
if we knew what is going on today 10 years ago, we wouldn't want to be a part of anything. We want to just stay home, and we would just want to just not be a part of nothing. But that's not, God said, just follow. Just have patience. Number two, we look for God to change while we wait, or while you wait. So if we look back in the previous chapters, we will see Abraham had a mistake. He got tired of waiting. He got tired of doing his own thing, or tired of waiting on God. So he did his own thing. And you know, we know this. He had a child with another woman, Ishmael. He had a child that was not promised. And we know God says, you know, that was not the son that was promised by God. So do you think that God stopped his plan there? Do you think that God said, oh, I'm done with Abraham? We know that's not the answer. God gave him a second chance. He put him back on course. He said, okay, Abraham, no, this is where I need you to be. I promised you a son, and that's what's going to happen. I promise you, you just got to wait on me. And we see that God gave a second chance to Abraham. God doesn't cast you away when you fail. If he cast us away when we fail, I would have already been gone. I would have already been out of here. I wouldn't have been a preacher. I wouldn't have been in church. God doesn't say one mess up and we're done. Three strikes and you're out. No. He gives us multiple chances. I want to ask you a question. How many times do we give people chances? Well, when we're in a friendship or something and they do us wrong, or somebody messes up and we're saying, okay, we're through with them. God is telling us to give them second chances. He's trying to change our minds about that person because we are in the same boat as them. We're no better than anybody else, but yet we want to put somebody away because they make one mistake. But yet, 20 minutes when we're out of church, we're going to make a mistake. So God is telling us to wait on him so that he can change us while we're waiting. You know, we were doing a college class this morning, and it was the first morning for it, and I really enjoyed it. And one thing that we talked about was a lot of us changed our, what are they called, majors in high school or in college multiple times. And just because we changed our majors doesn't mean it's bad. It's just God was focusing in on our lives, and he was changing our minds and our hearts to where he wants us to be. And Abraham changed his mind after he did what was against God's word. He changed back to what God actually wanted him to do. So God's gonna put us back on what we need to do, what he wants us to do, regardless if we accept it or not. A lot of times we're doing God's will, we don't even know it. And the last thing I want to talk about is enjoy friendship with God. Enjoy your friendship with God. What do you think Abraham did while he was waiting for his son? The Bible tells us he trusted God. He worshiped with God. You know, what are we doing? Are we enjoying the friendship and the relationship that God's given us, or are we complaining about what we don't have? Are we trying to do our own way, or are we following in on what God has for us? A lot of times what we want is not what God wants. And James, it says that God was pleased with Abraham because how faithful and how trustworthy he was to God. He didn't complain. He didn't ask. He didn't say why. He just followed. I had a kid on my baseball team this summer, and if Trevor or Ryan was here, he could tell you. He asked why every time we would do a drill, he would ask why we did it. We never told him why we were doing it, because it wasn't for him to know why we did it. He was just supposed to do it. And that's us with God. We're supposed to enjoy the plan, the life, the blessings, and everything else that God's given us. We're supposed to have a relationship, a personal relationship with God. Many times, we'll watch TV, we'll play sports, we'll go fishing, play golf, we'll work more than we ought. But we forget the time that we have, that we should have taken. I challenge you today that you are taking time to have time with God. Let me read you the survey I found this week. On an 80-year lifespan, 23 years of it you're sleeping. I don't know how this next one is, but they say 22 years of it you're actually hard working. You're doing hard labor. 10 years of it, you're putting on clothes. Now, men, I know that's not us. That's a bunch of ladies. Because it takes me 2 seconds to put on clothes where it takes an hour to put my wife, her clothes on. She changes clothes like every 5 seconds. I'm like, just put a dress on. And so that was the top four things, top three things. The last two things was we play sports 5 years. And we do things for God for 4 years. 4 years. Now, that makes me feel bad. 4 years of my, if I'm to live 80 years, 4 years of my life, I'm working for God. The rest, I practically put them aside as a spare tire until I need them. That's very moving to me. That shows me that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing for God all the time. That shows me that us as a church, we're not doing everything that we could be doing to promote God in our lives. I heard a song one day. It says, I don't remember any other words, but these words stuck out to me. Today, your life may be the only Bible that they see. Think about it. You may be the only thing that a non-Christian is able to see. And our goal of our church is to bring people in, to show them God, to bring them to God, to show them who God is. And if we're not doing that, then what are we here for? Are we focusing our lives in on what God's plan for our life is, or are we just putting on clothes for 10 years? Are we just sleeping? I challenge you today that if there is something in life that you're not focused at, whether it be your prayer life or whether it be your ministry life. Now, your ministry does not have to be up here preaching. It could be praying. It could be teaching a Sunday school class. It could be just witnessing to people. And there's many other more. But what are you doing today to bring people to Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, the plan that you've given each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you help us to focus our lives on you and focus our plan on you. God, I pray that we don't stray away. We don't put the cart before the horse, but we just be patient and focus on you. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to open your word and learn something about you. Thank you for Abraham and how faithful he was to you and trusting he was to you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's just a part of you, if you just want to come down to this altar and pray, it's open.